Welcome to Life Quest, a program that directs you to subjects and books that will make a difference in your life. A program that will make you think and strengthen your journey of faith in the 21st century. My name is Dwight Lainhoff. Today on Life Quest, I'm talking with Jackie Troutman. She actually left her corporate career behind to pursue God's call to share her personal experience of God's healing power and loving presence. She is also an author. Today I'm going to be talking with her about the book God Notes, Daily Doses of Divine Encouragement. Jackie, welcome to Life Quest.
Thank you so much, Dwight.
I wanted to ask a little bit about you before we get into the book. Did you grow up in a home of faith? And tell us a little bit about yourself.
I did. Well, I was a child of the 50s, and my parents met during World War II.
Uh-huh.
My mother was from London, England, and my father was in the Army Air Corps, and he flew 39 successful missions.
Wow.
On B-24s.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, as a bombardier.
Yeah.
And he was Catholic, and my mother was actually raised by a Jewish father.
Mm-hmm.
And a Catholic mother.
I see.
But when she came to the States, she took us to a church called the Lyndall Boulevard Bible Church. And if you were to ask my mother, you know, anytime you go to a hospital and they say, what
right.
religion are you?
Yeah.
She would always say, I'm a broad-minded Baptist.
What a description.
And she was very broad-minded and very open-minded and inclusive. And so, yes, I had an extremely strong faith background.
But things at home weren't always wonderful.
No, and that's where it really came into play, because my father ended up becoming an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
And he... unfortunately, he worked at a brewery, so during those times, you could drink all the fresh beer that you wanted was
yeah.
one of the perks.
Yep.
And so he would come home and would have violent rages, and they were fortunately not directed at me, but they
mm-hmm.
were directed to my mother.
Yes.
And I had to witness that, and so later he was also diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
Mm-hmm.
So my faith really... when I became an adolescent, I really got out of the house, and church was such a huge foundation for me, and the youth group was
yes.
very supportive, so that was really so important.
Knowing that and reading a bit of your, what you describe in the introduction to your book, that has to have had an impact, well, not just in your later authorship, but however life was going for you.
Oh, absolutely. And it also, as much as my faith kind of was solid for me, at the same time, the father word,
mm-hmm.
my father was not supportive, and I kind of felt abandoned. And then going to church, the image of God that I was presented with
yes.
was pretty much a vengeful, as I like to say, squish me like a bug if I stepped out of line.
Exactly.
And so I was very conflicted, and so once I became an adult, I literally turned away from my faith, and I just kind of pursued. I also vowed, because my mother was a homemaker, and she, even though she loved music, she would have been an opera singer if she'd stayed, if the war hadn't happened,
mm-hmm.
And she ended up doing one-woman shows and such. On the side, but she was pretty much trapped in the situation, and I just vowed that I would never depend on anyone.
Yeah.
And that pretty much included God, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I became very successful in my advertising career, and I felt like I'd done quite well without God's help.
So you were in marketing, advertising, and all of a sudden a change came, or you decided to make a change.
Well, it was, what happened was my choir director, I had ended up, I got married, I had a son, my prior husband had not been involved with any kind of faith, and I had turned uh-huh. away from my faith, and I decided when my son was 7 years old to go church shopping, and right. I found a church, and it's still my home today, uh-huh. the First Presbyterian Church in Kirkwood.
Mm-hmm.
And I was taking voice lessons with my choir director there, and we were in the middle of a voice lesson, and he just abruptly stopped and swung around on the piano bench and planted his feet on the ground and looked at me so frustrated and said, "Why won't you let go?"
Hmm.
And that was it. Yes. It was like somebody had thrown a bucket of ice water in my face.
Right.
I woke up and I realized my whole life was shoulds. I'd been running on this rat wheel. Ironically, we had two rats at home. But their wheel was, they were getting all their needs met, and they were, their wheel was happy, and mine was just sun up to bedtime, just running on this wheel. And so I woke up at that point, and I just really kind of sought help and looked internally a lot to kind of turn my life around.
And that took more than a little measure of trust and faith.
Yes, and also, you know, I believe that God brings people into our lives mm-hmm. when we're ready to accept guidance. And there was someone at work that said, you know, I kind of told her a little bit about my background and my mm-hmm. father and the marriage, and she said, "Have you heard about codependency?"
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "No." And she said, "I really think you need to get this book, Codependent No More." And I immediately went to the bookstore, and I was thumbing through it, and I thought, oh my goodness, this book is all about me, because I really thought that the alcohol was my father's problem, and that I didn't have a problem. I thought I had stopped the
cycle.
And the abuse, because I didn't abuse people. I didn't drink and you know, become an alcoholic, but I'd become a workaholic, and I'd also just abused. I had an eating disorder. Mm-hmm. I was just abusing myself tremendously, and so that really opened my eyes, and I ended up leaving my marriage. I actually left my career.
Yeah.
I was pretty much down to my last nickel, and not knowing what to do, and God just provided this amazing job, and I just did a lot of soul searching when I was on my own. I'm a huge journal fan,
mm-hmm.
and I just journaled all my feelings out and really got down to the bottom of the pain so that I could heal.
You do journaling. Do you do blogging or something like that?
I do. I have a blog called The Guided Life,
uh-huh.
and I have an e-zine that I write also where I offer encouragement to people.
Okay.
So I've been doing that, as well as another thing that really healed me was meditation. And I know that for Christians, meditation, at least for me, I was never brought up with being taught meditation. It was always prayer and it was Bible study, but never meditation. And I discovered meditation, which actually helped me to quiet my mind
mm-hmm.
and to actually, I like to say prayer is talking to God, and meditation is listening to God.
Many times in church or in study, we use the two words together, prayer and meditation. But we really don't talk about the meditation part. We talk about the prayer part. And I really like your definition there. Prayer is talking to God, or as someone put it, talking to God is to a friend. Meditation is listening. And that's the tough part, isn't it, for some people, the listening. Because I'm a radio guy. I don't like dead air. And so, but we need to learn to recognize the voice of God, which comes to us in a variety of ways.
Oh, absolutely.
Your book is called God Notes. Describe for our listeners the format. I mean, what is it about? What does it do? How does it do it?
Well, the book came out of a month-long prayer retreat,
mm-hmm.
and it was quite a surprise. I like to say that God is the God of surprises, because I had not set out to write a book. And so going to the prayer retreat, we were pretty much told to allow God to love us. We were asked to receive grace And they talked about when Jesus met with someone, he was fully engaged, and he always asked them what he wanted, and he was inviting them to share their deepest desires. So this, the first couple days of the prayer retreat, I settled down to prayer, and when I, backtracking a little bit, when I was in the advertising business, when I would go in every day, when I was learning the business, I would say to the media director, what's my word for the day? And I would learn advertising one word at a time. And as much as I love meditation, I know that some people won't want to spend 10 minutes or 20 minutes a day because they think they're doing nothing, which is what I thought meditation was, doing nothing, until I tried it and just experience a deeper relationship with God. And so I thought, surely people would have time for a word. Mm-hmm. And so when I settled down to prayer, I said to God, give me my word for the day.
Oh, very good.
And God said, believe.
Yeah.
And all these sentences about believe tumbled out.
I see.
And it was like, believe you are worthy, believe you are able, believe it's your time, believe I am yours, believe you are mine, I believe in you. And I, after the prayer was over, I wrote, there must have been 50 sentences that just tumbled into my consciousness. And I wrote, I was able to capture those. And then I would settle down and kind of focus on another word. And then I just felt led to pull 365 words out of the Bible.
Right.
And so, I don't know, over the course of a couple years, I would just in the mornings, during my quiet time, I would just let my eyes fall on a word until one kind of caught my attention, and then I would wade in with my paper and my pen and be inspired.
You and I can together just go through a few of these words and talk to me about it. And the first one is abundance. Now, sometimes we think of the abundance of things that we have, but you're talking about God's abundance.
Yes.
And you say, the first line of page 3 of your book says, my abundance is all around you. Can you unpack that?
Yeah, I'm going to grab my book if I didn't have it. Yeah, I mean, I think that was another thing kind of growing up was kind of a scarcity mentality that we had, and it was always like we were getting by, and to me, when I think of abundance, after actually how I started writing was I was getting so stressed out in the corporate world, and my husband, bless his heart, had just said to me one day, he goes, you know what, you really want to write, just quit. Quit and follow your dream, and we'll be fine.
Uh-huh.
And then about a year later, he lost his job.
I see.
So what was interesting was we had both had high-powered careers in marketing, and we went from these huge salaries down to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, truly made me focus on abundance and what abundance we had that wasn't monetary or tied to our careers.
Yes.
And so, I mean, just the abundance that is out there as far as nature and space. When you drive anywhere across our country and you kind of get out of the city, it's amazing to me how much space there is.
Yep.
We were just in a little cabin in northwest Missouri, and it was like for miles and miles and miles you couldn't see anything but land and trees and sky and clouds. And I truly believe that, you know, I say here there's an abundance of opportunities waiting for you when you stop, listen, and pay attention.
Yes.
And that I will shower upon you an abundance of love, joy, strength, and peace. I am your God, the God of abundance. For you, nothing is in short supply. So, and I've written these notes as if God is speaking these words, because he pretty much did.
Okay, and on page 15, you use the word grateful. And again, as if God was speaking, because he is, my creation responds in grateful praise. And we see that in the scripture all the time, don't we? Especially in the Psalms and in other places. And then you define it very specifically as birds and flowers, and then this grateful heart. And I'm reminded of St. Paul, who says that he's learned to be content in all things. And there's so much discontent in our lives today if we allow that attitude to come to us rather than looking for the good bits and the things that God has provided.
Yeah, and it's so easy for that because, you know, now we have, when I was back in the early days, in my radio days, we had, you know, like 5 radio stations. Mm-hmm. There were 4 television stations. And now we have all these 24-hour news yes. networks and now social media. And it's all, you know, kind of on Facebook. If you read everything, you can kind of get sucked in of, oh, so-and-so is traveling around the world. And this, and you end up not being grateful. It's, you know, the world will say there's not enough, mm-hmm. you know. And marketing will say, well, you need this next thing and this, you know, greatest thing to be enough. And it's never enough.
And talk radio says things are bad and getting worse.
Yes, exactly. And what I love that you said, it reminds me of St. Paul, because these words really, since they were taken from the Bible, they really are taken from Scripture. And very, very much, almost every word, I was thinking of verses, mm-hmm. you know, that came from the Bible. And I'm just thinking of this, you know, my creation responds in grateful praise. When we were out in the country, I'm a city girl, so it's been very rare for me to go to the country. And so we were literally in the middle of nowhere. I mean, there was even a lake called No Lake and a creek called No Creek.
Mm-hmm.
but at nighttime, because we had no one around us, there were no streetlights, there was nothing. So the stars,
yes.
it was, I'm usually in bed by 9 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
So it was, you know, 9:30, and night just kind of fell, and the entire landscape changed from clouds and blue sky to darkness, and then the stars just exploded, and then all of the crickets and the night creatures
yes.
started singing, you know, and I felt like they're just praising God. And it was this symphony of sound, and it was a whole different world than I've experienced. It
right.
was so, it just filled me up.
Page 25, planted. And you quote about a tree planted by a stream of water. But you give a very important warning in my estimation here, and that is, you know, there's all kinds of seeds that can grow. You have to be careful. Not every seed is positive. Not every seed is from God. So then you say, you must not let these false seeds planted take root in you. Don't be wooed by every opportunity that comes your way. I think that speaks to a lot of us
mm-hmm.
who find something and we say, well, maybe that's a good thing. Or even little things, some resentment or supposed slight, if we allow that to take root, then it wrecks our day and many times our life.
Yeah, and that's where that listening comes in again,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's like, whose voice is it?
Yes, and the Christian needs to develop the discernment to figure out what is the voice of God and what may be so many other voices that come our way. I like that. Going on here, on page 51, you use the word human. I created you as a human in my image. And Jesus took on human form. And humanness includes emotions. And you point that out here too, that this is all part, that God can relate to our joy, our love, our pain, and our suffering. I had someone try to tell me that that was not true, because God, being omniscient, knew everything. But he does share our pain. The listening part you've mentioned several times, and that is on page 53, you talk about listen, and you give some suggestions here. Can you talk about that a little bit?
I say listen to your heart and not only your ears.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's, well, and I have listened to your body. It speaks to you when it's tired or depleted. Don't ignore it. Uh-huh. Listen. For so many years when I was struggling with my weight, I didn't listen to my body. I mean, I just really overran my full factor. Mm-hmm. You know, if I was full, I just totally bypassed it. I just didn't listen. And I didn't listen. My mother had passed away in October, and prior to that, she had many, many health issues, and I was caring for her, and I was depleted, and I didn't pay attention to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up one December, after she had broken her femur, getting really super sick, and I just ran myself into the ground.
Yeah.
So I wasn't, you know, if we don't listen and pay attention to that, we can't care for others either if we don't care for ourselves.
Yes.
And then I think it's also listening to other people. I'm so concerned with our digital communication and texting and
mm-hmm.
emojis instead of even typing things. And there's been so many situations where I'll meet someone and they are just talking all about themselves. And
right.
I was at a conference and someone said, well, enough about me. Tell me what you think about me.
it's all about them.
Exactly. And there's not any listening.
Yeah. There's a word for every day in your book, God Notes, Daily Doses of Divine Encouragement. What do you want the reader to ultimately get out of this after 1 year?
Well, I think it's interesting is the feedback I'm getting.
Okay.
Because earlier you had kind of asked me and I didn't really answer about how the book was put together.
Yeah.
Because it's in, it's meant to be a word for the day. But I did not put dates on the words. And my publisher had suggested that I put them into groupings as well. And so that's when, I had not thought about that. So the groupings are, trying to get to the contents here. Nature, body, mind, spirit, guidance, healing, transformation, and
uh-huh.
truth.
Yes.
And what I kind of found is I saw that, like, through nature we kind of experience God, and then in our body we experience it, in our mind, and then we drop into our spirits, and
mm-hmm.
then we really seek guidance, and then if we haven't healed, we really need to heal, and then that takes us to transformation, and then it takes
right.
us to truth. So it kind of flowed, and what people are saying to me is they say they open the book to wherever, and they just
yes.
want to see what word God has for them today.
Uh-huh.
And some people are just sucked into the book to begin with, and they read the entire thing in a few days, and then they go back and they start at the beginning and do a word for the day.
Uh-huh.
So more people than not have said they just open it.
Yes.
And it's exactly what they need for that day.
Okay, good.
So it's been kind of interesting.
It is, yes. The book is God Notes, Daily Doses of Divine Encouragement by Jackie Trotman. Jackie, where can our listeners get a copy of the book?
Well, it is on Amazon,
mm-hmm.
and they can also find out more about me and the other meditations and such, and
right.
Watch a couple videos about God Notes on my JackieTrotman.com.
And you're obviously very a media person, and it's available for whatever type of media people are drawn to. I want to thank you so much for being with us on LifeQuest today.
Well, I truly, truly appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to LifeQuest today. If you have questions or comments, you may send them to lifequest@lifetalk.net. My name is Dwight Lainhoff. This program comes to you from studios in the Meadowglade Church, Battleground, Washington.